Welcome back to the McAdoo Studios. Kyle Bailey, Will Stewart, Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com hanging out here on a Thursday afternoon. Why are they here? Because we won't be tomorrow. Christian is still in Guatemala, and Chris Barnhart has to go out of town for work. So I have no staff tomorrow. So it's an involuntary paid day off.
Oh, well.
I love those.
Yeah.
It's like, I want to come to work. I'd really love to be there, you know, but I have no staff.
Thanks for the free money.
So thank you for that. Looking forward to the long weekend, I guess, even though, I don't know what I'm going to do. Let's talk a little recruiting for a second. Three-star wide receiver Phil Patterson committed to Virginia Tech a couple of days ago. What do we know about Phil Patterson?
I like Phil Patterson. He's a natural receiver. I think, obviously him having been from the 757 or being from the 757 will help our status out there, especially from school with Bayside. I don't think Virginia Tech has signed a player directly out of Bayside in the Frank Beamer era. I think Greg Melvin, who was a running back recruit in the mid-90s, was from Bayside, but Virginia Tech actually signed him out of junior college ball. I like Patterson. I think he's got natural receiving skills. He's got a good frame. Virginia Tech lost Tino Ellis on Friday night, which we figured they would. But yeah. I think they got a really nice under the radar pickup in Phil Patterson.
Seems like a good player.
Yeah, he's got a good offer list too.
He does.
Penn State, Tennessee.
Yeah, seems like a good player. So we'll see what happens with that. All right, moving on. Josh Stanford's going to Kansas. How about that? Mm. Josh Stanford is transferring to the University of Kansas.
From Virginia Tech.
From Virginia Tech to the University of Kansas.
To the worst football program in the whole country.
In the whole country.
Whole country.
The whole one.
Yeah.
No, yeah, it was, what was it? Bill Connolly of SB Nation does a great job writing college football. He does a season preview for each team, like an extensive one. He did a great one for Virginia Tech a couple of weeks ago. And he did one for Kansas a few weeks before that. I think the headline of his article was, Kansas won't win many games, but they'll get lots of exercise and sunshine. Those are the nicest things he could find to say about the Kansas football program right now. It was weird, And first of all, the guy that reported the transfer was not very accurate, said that he cited injuries last season for Joshua Stanford not, being around the team, which is unequivocally not true. He might have had some bumps and bruises, but that's not the reason he wasn't around. I just thought it was fascinating that Andy Bitter actually found the story this morning and tweeted the link that Josh Stanford's going to Kansas.
Somebody put that on our board the other day, and I was like, wow, I hadn't seen that reporter anywhere. So I Googled it and didn't find it, but then the story got written a couple of days later.
Yeah, good for him, I guess. Will, you just look perplexed over there.
I'm sitting here thinking it's been a long time since Josh was on Virginia Tech's team. Usually these guys announce where they're going pretty quickly.
I told you, I saw him standing around the side of the street in Blacksburg one night about
three,
4 weeks ago. Just out in front of Hokie House. Just looked at the kid and I was like, "Hey man, what are you doing here? Why are you still around?"
Yeah. So how many years does he have left?
He'll have two.
Two.
Well, he'll have to sit.
He'll have to sit, which is weird.
And then he redshirted. Basically sat last year, but he was enrolled. So it'd be nice if he could play right away. Well,
there's no reason to think that he could.
No, I wouldn't think so.
What waiver could he possibly get?
I don't know.
He's not from Kansas. He's not going home to be with family.
I think if a player transferred and the school he transferred from wrote a written note to the NCAA saying we're okay with it if this guy plays right away, I think.
You think that could that
well,
works?
Well, no, I think they should be able.
Like a permission slip.
Yeah, I think they should be able to do that.
Hmm. Well,
I'm not saying they can't.
Your point's well made. I got you. Yeah, I just thought it was strange. So speaking of someone else who's transferring, CJ Revis is going to go play at the number one JUCO in the country.
That's good.
East Mississippi, which is where Chad Kelly.
Swag Kelly.
Swag Kelly was playing last season. Did they win a national championship there?
Probably so. He was putting up huge numbers.
Yeah. East Mississippi's become the number one JUCO program in the country. Good for him. And actually, you said it best a couple of weeks ago. We are never going to officially know what happened with CJ Revis and what caused the Student Conduct Board Committee to kick him out. But you said at the time, you hope he gets what he deserves, whatever that may be. And that's the best way for, I think, anyone to sum it up. Whatever he deserves, I hope he gets it.
Yeah. Yeah, and there seem to be some people who don't think he got what he deserved. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I wasn't there.
A lot of
I
folks
don't know.
Yeah, there are a lot of people that don't believe that.
In other words, a lot of people think he got more.
Yes.
In a bad way
than
what he deserved.
They think he should still be allowed to be enrolled at Virginia Tech. Yeah, exactly. They don't think he was treated
Jimmy
fairly.
Turk sure believes that.
Jimmy Turk definitely believes that.
Well, Jimmy, I know Jimmy and I like Jimmy, and you could just tell he was very frustrated. I mean, Jimmy's used to functioning in a court of law with all the rules and laws that apply there, and you go in front of the judicial review board at a university and those rules don't apply. And Jimmy was obviously very frustrated.
Forgive my ignorance for anyone out there if I'm just not grasping this well enough. I've spent a lot of time at Virginia Tech as a student, as an instructor for a little while. I guess just the unilateral decision-making power to just boot a kid like that, you know, and to be able to just say, yeah, well, we don't like what we see here. You got to go.
Yeah.
You know, I just – it doesn't sit well with me.
With no proof.
Well, yeah, right.
Except somebody's word.
Right.
Yeah.
It just doesn't sit well with me.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not an expert on how that all works. I never went through it personally. I don't know. But from everything that I know and have read, I just don't like the way those things work.
And that's just, you know,
especially
that's
at a state institution.
And
I don't
then
like
you add
it.
On top of it that it's a state institution.
Right.
You can't even do a FOIA request to find out what went on.
Exactly.
Because that's, it's, you know, privacy rights. And it's, you know, I'm not saying I'm against privacy rights, but it's not like these are high school kids or college kids. They're above 18.
Right.
You know, at a state university. And this isn't just a Virginia Tech problem.
No,
you know,
I would say the same thing at UVA. All of it, yeah.
I mean, and it's federal guidelines is kind of what they're following in a lot of these situations.
It's almost like this extra legal regime in a way. You know, it's just they're working and navigating outside the judicial process.
They really are. It's totally different from the regular judicial process that you see in a court of law, and that's why it's so frustrating for a guy like Jimmy Turk is because, you know, he's a very good lawyer. He's used to his clients getting found not guilty or at least getting a very, very
reduced punishment.
Reduced punishment.
Yeah.
So he goes in there, and if for something that he claims a Commonwealth attorney won't even touch, and then basically the school finds C.J. Rivas guilty, even though the Commonwealth attorney says, well, there's no way we could prove this. So that's very frustrating for a guy like Jimmy
Turk.
It has
to be. Yeah. Has to be.
A guy who's based his life on the law.
It's got to be rough. I don't like the way that it's set up. You hate to see a kid. And like you said, if he deserved to get kicked out of school,
then I'm glad he got kicked out.
Then I'm glad he got kicked out of school.
I don't know. I will say he's making a great decision going the JUCO route.
Agreed.
At this late stage of the summer with camps opening tomorrow to next week, you're not going to find, you know, you're going to land at ODU or ECU
or Marshall
or something like that. If you go to the JUCO route, have a big year, then he's gonna be playing football in the SEC next year. That's my opinion.
Oh, I think so too. I think so too. He's that talented.
Yeah.
And you hate to see a kid like that booted out of a program that really wanted him and was poised to utilize him and to let his talent shine this
season.
That's right. And again, if he deserved to get kicked out, sayonara. But if he didn't, and a lot of folks don't believe that he did, not even close, it's unfortunate.
He'll probably go to Tennessee.
Probably.
He'll probably kill Tech
and
next
probably
year.
Play in the battle in Bristol. Yeah, probably will. Probably will. You're right about that. Chris Coleman, Will Stewart, TechSideline.com, hanging out with us here in the McAdoo studios. Melvin Kane is also gone. What, if any, repercussions will they see on the depth on the defensive end?
Because he was going to be the fifth defensive end.
Right.
But, you know, the thing is, it'll hurt on special teams because he is a good athlete.
Uh-huh.
And we saw Virginia Tech run into trouble 2 years ago on special teams, and they just didn't – when they have depth problems on the team – as long as nobody gets hurt, you know, your starting lineup will generally be okay. But you'll notice it on special teams. If you have a lack of talented depth in your program, you'll notice that on special teams. And, you know, that Alabama game a couple of years ago when we had guys like Derek DiNardo as key members of the punt coverage team.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to put, you know, freshmen out there on the punt coverage team.
Yeah, that was rough. And bless his heart, Derek DiNardo does not need to be in the position to have to chase down Christian Jones.
You're exactly right. Yeah, and so – that's where it hurts, losing a guy like Kane. You want to keep guys like that, even if you don't think they're all of would be a starter, because you want some impact guys on special teams, guys that are good athletes. I mean, Frank doesn't seem to play starters on special teams nearly as much as he used to, for whatever reason. So you want more talented depth in your program, so you can get good special teams play.
That pretty much sums it up. I can't add anything to that. That's why I hired the guy.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I see it now.
Finally.
Finally. You know, after all this, I'm quitting. I finally see it.
I hired him 10 years ago.
Starting to pay dividends now, right?
Yeah.
No, it's I like a lot of things about this team, but the lack of depth in certain places is still troublesome to a lot of fans, and it should be. Because, like we've always said, in 2009 when Tech played Alabama, you know, and nearly beat them, Even in 2013, in that game you were just referencing, I said to folks, it's not about the 11 on the 11.
No.
It's about the next 22.
Our 11 went head-to-head with their 11.
Right.
Our defense whipped them. Even our offense played fairly competently that game outside some drop passes. We blocked them pretty well. But, man, they scored two special teams touchdowns.
Mm-hmm. And that blew
the game wide open.
That goes all the way back to 1996 when they went up against Nebraska, back when Nebraska was losing one game every 4 or 5 years. and they went up against them in the Orange Bowl.
Oh, those teams were good.
The front line guys for Tech could handle it. They could play it. But then Nebraska would just sub the entire offensive line at once.
Those Nebraska teams were scary.
They were.
And now Lawrence Phillips is scary in a whole new way.
Oh, my Lord.
Anyway, go ahead, Will.
Well, in 95, Tech had a defensive line that went too deep. But in 96, it only went. They had the starting four guys, and then maybe had one or two other guys that were willing to play. So the starting four
deep.
Got worn down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, by the way, do you see what Nebraska is pinning their hopes of returning to national prominence on a math or a PhD or a mathematics PhD?
I missed that.
Yeah, no, they are. I think the SEC, the Big Ten coaches were asked about advanced analytics in football and, how do you utilize them and are you a believer and all this stuff. And Nebraska's, Mike Riley and those guys, they have a Nebraska kid who I think he's a mathematician, a PhD. Might be stats, but I'm pretty sure it's just straight mathematics. And, just studying trends, and they're looking at this kid to bring him back to national prominence.
They must have watched Moneyball.
They must have watched some Moneyball. That's
well, Nebraska knows they're not going to be able to recruit like they used to because of their location.
And I like those people.
I love Nebraska. They're fantastic.
But I'm not sure they even understand it.
Yeah, it's a different era. Recruits are looking for different things these days. They want
not
the flash.
Nebraska.
Yeah, right. And
the state.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Where it's cold, the plains, and
it's
just not a sexy locale. And if you don't think that matters to these kids,
these days it does.
It does. It really does. Yeah. And is Tuscaloosa, Alabama, the most I guess sought after destination? No, it's not. But it's warm. Yeah. There are pretty women there.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if you're Nebraska, what do you do about that? I mean, how sexy was Oregon before Phil Knight started pumping money into them and they started wearing those uniforms? And
everybody's got something, right?
Yeah.
Everybody's got something. For the most part. I don't know what Nebraska has aside from history. I don't know.
Yeah.
I
they may need to create something new, is what I'm saying. Just like Oregon did.
But what can that be?
I don't know.
You know what I mean? Like, obviously, if we knew, we'd do it, make a lot of money.
Yeah, that's right.
But I don't know. I have no idea.
I still can't believe that Nevada's the only team that runs a pistol offense.
Crazy, right?
I think it's a great offense. I think it gives you advantages in the running game and the passing game. You can run a spread offense out of the pistol. You can run a power offense out of the pistol. You can run every running play from any formation imaginable, whether it's a spread formation, whether it's tight ends, from the pistol. And the quarterback only has to know, it's not like he has to go back and forth between under center, shotguns. He's in the same place every time. And I just think it's a great offense. And if I'm trying to build a brand in college football these days, I think that's what I would do. I would build my brand around the pistol.
I like it. One more segment with Chris Coleman and Will Stewart of TechSideline.com coming up after this. Keep it locked to Super Sports 101.7.